something which is very light, and a culture of wasting time. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Somebody who spends most of their time engaged in this video game culture, life for them becomes a game. Life becomes a game. After all, what do? You know, I might have to go to school, I might have to go to work, do a few things, right? But most of the time I'm playing a game. And this, if this becomes something which is part of my life, then eventually I see life is just a game as well too. And at that point, life doesn't have that much meaning, does it? It's amazing. Somehow, I met somebody who was complaining to me about his son. He says that my son has become so obsessed with this game that he's playing, he's lost all touch with reality. He can't communicate anymore with anyone else. His life has become the game that he plays. Even the work that he has, it's something which doesn't involve communication with anybody else. He can stay at home, he earns his money, and then he spends all of his free time playing his games. Another mother came to me, she's complaining. She said that my son has become so obsessed with this that I have to force him, I have to bring him the food and force him to eat, otherwise he won't eat. He's so obsessed with that type of being engaged in the video games. Now again, these might be extreme, but they reflect a culture, a way of thinking about the world, that this world is about playing, this world is about game. There's nothing really serious about it. And what that leads to is serious psychological problems. Because when we don't have any meaning in life, it's just a game, then the question is, well, what's the point of my even living anymore? Brothers and sisters, these are just a few aspects of a video game culture and how it influences our perspective on the world and the hereafter. It's a culture which basically views the hereafter as being something very bleak or even non-existent. And thereby, it affects our perspective on this world. Now, what I'd like to do tonight for the remainder of the look at the Islamic perspective. What is supposed to be our perspective on the hereafter, and how does that directly influence the way we're supposed to lead our lives? You can help me with saying a loud salawat, please. Surah Ankabut, verse number 64. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَاةُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. This dunya, this world is but play and sport. The true life is in the hereafter, if only they knew. Do we read the Quran, brothers and sisters? Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions were people who had incredible unce, incredible familiarity and attachment to the Qur'an. One of the benefits of reading the Qur'an is that we're reminded that there's more out there to life than what these games and movies portray. There's true life which lies beyond this dunya. The ulama explain this. They say that when a child comes out of the womb of his or her mother, imagine the difference. Before that time, their whole world was just a dark cavity with just a few sounds. But suddenly, when they make that transition, it's one which forces them to cry because of the change. Suddenly, there's so much more space, there's different lights, there's different sounds. Now they have to fend for their own when it comes to getting their food. No longer are they fed food through a tube, and so many other differences. They say the same analogy applies when it comes to this world versus the hereafter. That when we step into that realm, it's as if we're going from the womb of a mother into this world. There's something much different out there. In another verse of the Quran, when in Surah Fajr, Allah says, وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. That's when people will be reminded of the truth, but that's not the time to remember. What are they going to say then? They'll say, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. If only I had prepared for my life. True life is in the hereafter. We can't reduce it to just be what's shown in a video game. Now, what is it that lies beyond this life right here? We have to remind ourselves of the stark difference between this world and hereafter. According to traditions, we're told that if the clothing of one of the heavenly creatures of paradise were to fall on the earth, then everyone who saw that would die out of shock and out of desire for entering heaven. And conversely, we're told in hadith that if one drop of that liquid that is fed to the inhabitants of the hell were to drop on the earth, everyone would die from the stench of that liquid. Now these parallels are something that make us pause here. There's a reality out there, brothers and sisters, which goes beyond this material world. There was somebody who saw a dream where everything was dark. But this darkness wasn't any normal darkness. They were shown a darkness where they said that they felt such fear that they've never felt by the darkness of this world. They went to a scholar who understood the deeper matters. They said, "What is the meaning of this dream?" The scholar said that you should be thankful to God that He showed you here and now one of the realities of the hereafter, when Allah talks about the people who will complain and say, "Rabbi, lima hashartani a'ma wa qad kuntu basira." Oh my Lord, why did you resurrect me when I'm blind? While in my life I could see things. This is the reality of it. That the darkness and the blindness is something which goes beyond the darkness of this world. That's reality out there. What we have here is something which is just play and sport. Our perspective on the hereafter, brothers and sisters, has to change. We need to understand it at a deeper level. We're told that in hadith, in one of the sayings that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when he's teaching the companion Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu regarding the hereafter, he says, "O Abu Dharr, there will be different stations in paradise." He said there will be somebody who will be at one station in the paradise who will look and see that there are people who are at a higher station in paradise. And he'll see that there's light emanating from that higher station. He'll become happy when he sees that light. He'll say, "Ma hadha," what is this? It will be said to him, "Hadha nuru akhika al-mu'min." This is the light of your believing brother or sister. He'll say that, "Wait a minute, okay, that's my brother, but we were together in this world. We used to be together. We used to do the same types of things. Maybe we were in the same community." But then you'll be told, "Qad faddala ala," you'll be told that, "innahu kana afdala minka amala," that it's true that he was with you in this world, but his actions are better than your actions. That's why he's in a higher state than you are in. And then that it seems that that person in the lower state will have a bit of unhappiness in his heart. Because after all, he'll see that somebody is in a higher state than he's in. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's paradise, He'll make him happy, He'll make him content with the station that he's in. What is this hereafter that we have to look forward to? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
There's a request that if we can please take one step, stand up and take a few steps forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Another salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Brothers and sisters, the rules of the world that we know right here and now cannot apply in the hereafter. Any sort of imagining that the world afterwards is just an extension of this world is completely wrong. The Quran describes, it says that يَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. On the Day of Judgment, the one who was a zalim, the one who was an oppressor, is going to be in a state of regret. Forget is it going to be. يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. That he will take both of his hands and put them into his mouth and bite them out of regret. You know, there's sometimes when we get worried about something, so we start to twiddle our thumbs, we start to get impatient. We might bite our lips, we might, you know, feel regretful or kind of impatient about something. When we feel regretful over something, then we're like, oh no, right? And one of the ways of showing that regret is by putting our hand, our finger in our mouth and biting it out of regret. But in that state, the regret will be so much that that person will put both of his hands in his mouth. You see, the rules are different there. What sort of regret will that be? What sort of fire is it going to be? What sort of pleasures there will be? Allah says in the Quran that regarding the pleasures of paradise, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَتْ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No one knows the types of delights that are waiting for them, that are hidden for them, as a reward for what they have done. A sampling, brothers and sisters, of descriptions of paradise and descriptions of hell, of what lies beyond, that we as believers have to believe in. We have to remind ourselves of them and take them and apply them into our lives. What does it mean to take this and apply it into our lives? I want to give two examples tonight. The first example is the following, that somebody who understands that the hereafter is a part of their lives, the way they schedule their time and the way they use their time changes. When you look at the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, who are our role models for how to live, we see that they were individuals who put incredible importance on the value of knowing time. In one hadith, our Prophet tells us that when it comes to what you should value, he says you should put more value on your time than you should on your dirham and your dinar. What does that mean? It means that when it comes to what is really truly valuable, it's that time that we are given as a gift from Allah. How much do we remind ourselves of this, that our time is limited? Ayatollah Burujardi rahmatullah alayh used to mention this in his dars, that after all, the number of breaths to breathe are limited. Something which has a limit to it, it's not infinite. Everyone has a set proportion. There was somebody who was giving a lecture, just like we're giving a lecture right now. He was talking about death. He was saying that who knows, death could come next week, it could come tomorrow, it could come tonight, it could come right here and now. And as he says that, he dies. Now, alhamdulillah, we have another moment. But when is this time going to come? When that's it? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in a hadith says that that thing which is most certain about doubting at all is the fact that we're all going to die. But at the same time, he says that thing which people have the most doubt about, yet which is most certain, is the fact that they're going to die. Meaning that it's one of those things where we know it's going to happen, but we forget about it. But if we remembered it, then things would change when it comes to our use of time. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen and how he spends his time. In hadith, we're told that every moment of his day would be accounted for. It says that, this is from his grandson, Imam Sadiq, when Imam Ali would be free of combating the enemy. Normally we think about him as being a warrior, but he was so much more than just a warrior. When he would be free combating the enemy, He would busy himself with teaching others and settling their disputes. He'd make sure that he would participate in the society. When he would complete that, he would busy himself in his garden. He would also be working as well too. Working with his hands, all the while being in the state of the remembrance of Allah the Exalted. Imam Ali Islam, he was somebody who knew that he had certain tasks to accomplish, and he would put his mind towards accomplishing them. He told us, finish a day's work within that day, as every day is allocated for whatever you have planned for that day. Do we take this advice and apply it, brothers and sisters? Do we have something in mind that these are the things I need to accomplish, or do we procrastinate? One of the signs of somebody who doesn't have the hereafter in their lives is they procrastinate on the important things. Let me give you an example. One of the wajibat that we have is that if we commit a sin, we have to repent for that sin. If we commit a sin, it's wajib for us to repent for that sin. And that obligation is known in Islamic jurisprudence as fawri. We have to work on it right away. We can't delay it. But have we gone back and thought about those sins that we've committed and asked Allah for that forgiveness? If we're postponing it, until when are we going to postpone it? How much longer do we have? We have all these aspirations. We know that we want to have a connection with the Quran. We know that we want to gain knowledge. We know that we want to achieve some of the spiritual stations that led the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be where they were. But when is it going to come time for us to do that? Or are we just okay plateauing, or even, God forbid, making progress downwards when it comes to our spiritual journey? Somebody who understands the hereafter is somebody who doesn't waste time doing frivolous things. One time, this one man came to our ninth Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Jawad was a boy. As you know, Imam Jawad alayhi salam became an Imam at a very, very young age. Now this man was thinking that, okay, he's just a boy. And kids, they like toys. So he bought some toys for him, and he went to present the toys to the Imam of the time. Now look at what Imam Jawad alayhi salam does. When that man is allowed into his presence, he doesn't smile at him. Our Imams normally would be extremely friendly, extremely smiling and welcoming. But when they wanted to send a message to their close companions, they didn't mince words. They were very clear and straightforward. He's not smiling at him. He comes to him and greets him, and he presents him with the toy. I bought this for you. What does Imam Jawad alayhi salam say? He says, we, the Ahlul Bayt, do not busy ourselves with such toys. Take this back with you. The man is very apologetic, and the Imam forgives him. But there's a lesson in that for all of us, especially our children. The lesson is not that we shouldn't play with toys. That's not the thing. No. There's some time, the Imams tell us, that we have to have a portion of our day dedicated towards leisure. We need that. And kids are kids. But the point is that our life should not be lived so that we can play with toys and games. And we can waste our time in frivolous things, whether it be watching those pointless blogs, whether it be watching pointless movies, whether it be involved with watching pointless forms of entertainment that don't help us as people. That shouldn't be the purpose of our life. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that we have been created for? The hereafter has to be something that we believe in. It's going to come. What station are we going to be at? Imagine those people who are in the lower levels of paradise. I gave you that hadith. The people in the higher level of paradise, and what are they going to say? If only. But that's not the time to say if only. The time is to say it right here and now. There's one beautiful hadith we have from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He tells his companion, he says that when you see a janazah, when you see a dead body being carried to the grave, then imagine yourself that you are the one who is being carried to that grave. And you are crying out to Allah, that, oh Allah, give me one more chance to go back to the world. And then thank Allah that you are alive and that He did give you that chance right here and now, and He gave you that opportunity one more time. And start over afresh when it comes to your actions. That's the philosophy that, brothers and sisters, we should have if we really believe in the hereafter and have it be part of our lives. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The first lesson, the first practical way this influences our lifestyle, as I said, is that we change the way we use our time. The second one that I want to mention before going to the masa'ib for tonight is that somebody who believes in the hereafter never feels that life is pointless and empty. One of the problems that we're seeing sometimes even among our own youth is that they feel that there's no purpose in life. Sometimes that leads to depression. And sometimes, na'udhu billah, it even leads to suicide as well. That video game culture says that, you know, you don't have any purpose but to play a game. And at the end of the day, something which is just virtual, there's no reality behind it. After all, the world is just moving towards an apocalypse anyways. What's the point of even trying? Now, it sounds silly when we talk about it here, but believe me, brothers and sisters, this is a problem that we're facing. This feeling that there is no real purpose behind what we're here for. But somebody who believes in the hereafter has a completely different perspective on life. What they say is that if I am performing my responsibility towards Allah, that's what gives me satisfaction, that's what gives me the happiness. There's a beautiful story we have in the Quran of somebody whose name isn't even mentioned, but he's mentioned for his action, for his bravery, and for his servitude towards Allah. You know the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. Fir'aun and his people wanted to kill Musa. They wanted to put an end to him because they felt that he was a threat to the kingdom. But there's one among them, فَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. There's one brave soul who stood up and came to the court and stood up against the tyrant of the time and said that, how can you do this? What is he talking about? Let him say the truth. We have no right to kill him. The Quran describes the end of this person as follows. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. Brothers, this is a subtle point here. It's a subtle point. I would ask you to see if you can get it. Allah says that He saved him from their evil schemes while a terrible punishment besieged Pharaoh's clan. In a video game, somebody who's saved from the bad guy is somebody who escapes from them and who lives a happy life. The bad guys die and he's enjoying all their treasure or something. But when we go back and look at the ahadith, there's a different picture that we're given. Allah says He saved him, that mu'min, who's known as mu'min Ali Fir'aun, He saved him from their evil schemes and a terrible punishment besieged Pharaoh's clans. Pharaoh and his people were drowned. But guess what happened to that mu'min? According to the riwayat, especially the riwayat from the Ahlul Bayt, he was killed. He became a martyr. But Allah says He saved him from the punishment. What does that tell us? It tells us that at the end of the day, if we believe in the hereafter, then no matter what happens in our lives, as long as we're doing our duty to Allah, we have complete confidence that Allah has our back. He's going to save us. Whatever it is that we need to be given, Allah is going to give it to us. That gives us an incredible sense of peace and satisfaction when we're dealing with this world. It gives us meaning in our lives. It gives us hope. Right here and now, and I'm moving towards Masad, brothers and sisters, duty to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You might ask, well, what's the point here? It's just one majlis. You know, I took some trouble. I have an exam tomorrow. You know, maybe tomorrow I won't come. It isn't really helping me. Just shedding a few tears. But we have to, if we believe in the hereafter, brothers and sisters, it changes our perspective on things. We realize that the most important thing I could be doing right now is to be here in this audience and try to shed a tear for Imam Hussein. In a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He talks about the rewards of somebody who sheds a tear for Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the hereafter. Now how much do we believe this? He says that somebody who sheds one tear for Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment will not be shedding tears. And that that individual will be somebody who makes Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra happy. This is from Kamil al-Ziyarat, our very authentic works and compilations of hadith from one of our great scholars, Ibn Qawlaway. He says that furthermore, on that Day of Judgment, that person a special gathering in the company of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There will be a cry that comes and tells him and everyone else who is with Imam Hussein, "Udkhulul Jannah," enter into paradise. But the hadith says, "Faya'abon." They'll refuse to go. They're busy with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Paradise is something which is secondary at that point. The heavenly creatures that are waiting for their company, that have been created for them in paradise, will come out and call them and beckon them to them and say, "Come to us, we've been waiting for you." But they'll ignore them. They'll be busy with their imam and their master, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فَمَا يَرْفَعُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِمَا يَرَوْنَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِمْ مِنَ السُّرُورِ وَالْكَرَامَةِ. That will be a majlis of happiness, of nobility, of dignity, such that they won't even raise their heads to look at those heavenly creatures which are beckoning towards them. This is something, if we believe in it, gives us hope, brothers and sisters. Never do we, especially as Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, never do we feel depressed or that life has no meaning. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I was requested on this evening to do the Masayib, a very special martyr who we could say was the first martyrs, because he was martyred before the Shuhada of Karbala. Certainly we know that had he been in Karbala, he would have been among the martyrs of Karbala. I wish to mention a few words about the messenger of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, known as Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim was somebody who was very special to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Imam Hussein sends him to Kufa, he sends his letter appointing him as his representative, and he says that I am sending with you, I'm sending to you one who is my brother and my cousin, and he is the trusted one from my family. To be the trusted of Imam Hussein, to be his representative, means that Muslim embodies the characteristics and the thinking and the qualities of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Muslim enters the city of Kufa, thousands of people, some narrations report 30,000 people, pledge allegiance to him. But the tale is one of treachery. The tale is one of being tested. Brothers and sisters, when we're tested in our own lives, where do we fall? What if we were there? Those 30,000, they were subject to pressure. They were told that if you follow Muslim, then your reputation will be destroyed, your property will be seized, you'll be thrown into prison, you might even be killed. And with this type of fear, those who didn't have iman, they failed the test. That same Muslim ibn Aqil, who entered with so many supporters into Kufa, when Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad makes his way into the city, he loses support. We're told that at one point on the day before his martyrdom, when Muslim leads here, there are only about 100 people. And when he leads the Isha prayer, there's only 10 people. And finally, Muslim is walking the streets of Kufa alone. Just imagine the scene, brothers and sisters. A stranger in a city, a member the cousin of the Imam of his time, walking the streets of the city with no one there to be with him. What a sad scene. He finds the house of a lady named Tawa. He asks for permission to have some water. She brings him some water. She sees that he doesn't leave. She tells him that, "Oh, why, stranger, are you not leaving? It is not appropriate for you to be here right now." He explains to her that, "I'm a wanted man. Can you please give me a place to stay just for tonight?" She is somebody who has love of the Ahlul Bayt in her heart. When she sees that this is somebody who is representing the Ahlul Bayt, she says that, "You can stay." She brings him food, but he refuses it. He is truly taking the path of his master, just like the Shuhada of Karbala spent their last night busy worshipping Allah. Muslim spends his last night worshipping Allah. She comes to him, she says, "My master, you have not slept the whole night." He says that, "I was busy, but when I did sleep, I saw a dream and I saw my uncle, the master of the faithful, calling to me and saying, 'Oh Muslim, hurry and quickly come to us. I know that this is the last day of my life.'" He hears the sounds of the approaching soldiers. He puts on his battle gear, but it is one man against an entire army. One by one they come after him, in groups, individually. Muslim fights so valiantly, but eventually he has to surrender. He's taken to the mansion of the governor. Ubaydullah is there waiting for him. Muslim, however, knows that this is the end. He refuses to bow. He refuses to show any sign of weakness. He keeps on repeating, "Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahumma ahkum baynana wa bayna qawmin. Oh Allah, judge between us and between these people who have deceived us." These are people who deceived us and people who have lied to us. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka yabna Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayka wa ala Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil. This is the last moments of his life. He is in the palace. They take him towards the edge of the wall. What are they going to do? What sort of heinous crime do they wish to commit with Muslim ibn Aqil? One of the prison guards sees that he's crying. He tells him that, "Oh Muslim, we never thought that you would be somebody who would be crying at this moment. We thought you were a brave man." He says that, "No, don't imagine that I'm crying for myself. I'm crying thinking about my master Hussein and his family. I have seen what you have done to me. I'm crying because of what you are going to do to them. And I do not know what sort of fate they are going to meet." The last words of Muslim ibn Aqil is the salam that he sends to his master. "As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." This is a true soldier. This is a true follower of the Imam of his time. Muslim ibn Aqil, what do they do to him? What sort of show do they want to make to the people when they want to drag that body on the streets of Kufa to show them what happens to somebody who is a traitor? News eventually reaches the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, overcome by grief, he makes a dua. He says, "Oh Allah, have mercy on Muslim." But he knows there's one who is going to receive this news in a very difficult way. He makes his way to the side of the women where the tent has camped. He finds the daughter of a Muslim. She is somebody who is close to him. She is his niece. He begins to stroke her hair in a comforting way. She tells him that, "Oh my master, you are stroking my hair in the way that I see those who stroke orphans' heads. What has happened? Are you telling me that something has happened to my father?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells her that, "Oh my dear one, know that I am not your father. My sister is not your mother. My sons are not your brothers. We are here for you now."
What a lucky girl she is to have a mom of her time with her and to have so many menfolk to guard her at that time. What about the children on the night after Ashura? Who is there to stroke their heads lovingly and to care for them? ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون ما تم حسين.
Please stand for the Lakmiya, brothers, sisters. Inshallah, we'll start every majlis with the remembrance of the Imam of our time. All my life waiting for you, tell me what you want to do. Your wish is my command, Ya Mahdi. All my life waiting for you, tell me what you want to do. Your wish is my command, Ya Mahdi. All my life waiting for you, tell me what you want to do. Wish is my command, Ya Mahdi. All my life waiting for you, tell me what you want to do. Your wish is my command, Ya Mahdi. All my life waiting for you, tell me what you want to do. Your wish is my command, Ya Mahdi. All my life waiting for you, tell me
what you want to do. Your wish is my command, Ya Mahdi.
Jazakumullah khair. MashaAllah. Shia, these are the tears, remembering them all these years. We're on this land, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya Hussein, shouting for you, Ya Hussein. Inshallah, all of you will join me in the loudest of your voices.
Shia, these are nights of tears, remembering them all these years. Shia, these are nights of tears, remembering them all these years. We're on this land, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya Hussein, shouting for Ya Hussein. Shia, Shia, these are nights of tears, remembering them all these years. Shia, Shia, here we stand, shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shouting, shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Oh Shia, witness the burning plains of Karbon wa Bala. Shia, witness the grief of our Abba Abdullah. Witness
and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya
Hussein.
Louder shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shia, Shia, these are nights of tears, remembering them all these. Where's your voices, Shia? The burning plains of Kerbun wa Bala. O Shia, witness the grief of our Abba Abdullah. Witness the household so did, and there they stand all alone. Witness the great sons of Ali, lions fearlessness they've shown. Lions they stand, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya
Mashallah.
Shouting for you,
Ya
Ashia, Ashia, these are Shia, these are
nights of tears, remembering them all these years.
We're on this land, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya
Hussein.
Shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Here comes Hussein, bringing bodies of his companions he mourns. Mothers, sisters, daughters crying, hearing them makes the heart groan. Young Ruqayya waiting for the water from up bus she yearned. He's come to her without his hands, doesn't know where he should turn. Abbas there stands, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya
Hussein.
Shouting, shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shia, Shia, these are
nights of
tears, remembering them
all these years.
Shia, Shia, these are
nights of tears,
remembering them
all these years.
We're on this land.
We're on this land.
And here
we stand,
shouting for you, Ya Hussein. Shouting
for you, Ya Hussein.
Here comes Hussein, bringing bodies of his companions he mourns. Mothers, sisters, daughters crying, hearing them makes the heart groan. Young Ruqayya waiting for the water from Abbas she yearned. He's come to her without his hands, doesn't know where he should turn. Abbas there stands, and here we stand, shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shia, Shia, these are nights of
tears,
them, bring them.
All these years,
Shia, these are
the rights of tears.
Remembering them.
All these years,
we're on this land, we're on
this land.
Mashallah.
And here we stand, shouting for you.
Yahoo!
Shouting,
shouting for you. Witness-e-Jad, witness-e-Jad. Restless but ill, restless but ill. To the witness-e-Jad, restless but ill. To the battle he should go, but by Allah's ordain he's to protect the lineage his role. Witness-e-Jad, witness-e-Jad, restless but ill, to the battle he should go, but by Allah's ordain he's to protect the lineage his role. Sajjad there stands, and here we stand, shouting for you, Ya
Hussein.
And shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shia, Shia.
These
are you getting tired? Where's your voices? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Shia, these are
the rights of tears. Remembering them all these years.
We're on this land. And here
we stand,
shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Shouting for you,
Ya Hussein.
Witness-e-Jad, restless but ill, to the battle he should go, but by Allah's ordain he's to protect the lineage his role. People witness heavens shaking, people witness angels mourning, people witness these tents burning, people witness children running. The enemies did not care. People witness children running. The enemies did not care. The heavens shake for you, Hussein. Even the angels can't bear. The angels stand, and here
we stand,
mashallah, for you, Ya
Hussein.
Shouting for you, shouting for you, Ya
Hussein.
Shia, Shia, these are
the rights of tears.
Remembering them
all these years.
Shia, these are
the rights of tears.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Remembering them
all these years.
Ah, we're on this land.
And here we stand, shouting for
you. Say it really loud. Again, shouting for you.
Ya Hussein.
One more time.
Shouting for you. Ya
Hussein. Hussein wa Hussein. Nas'aluka Allahumma wa nad'uk. Jazakum Allah alf khair. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 10 times in the loudest of your voices يا الله 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 Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'a wa fi kulli sa'a. Everyone together. Waliyan wa hafidha wa qa'idan. طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ولأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمات على الإيمان ولتوج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان ولقضاء الحاجات وشفاء المرضى نهدي ثواب الفاتحة تسبق الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
تقبل الله أعمالكم إن شاء الله. Just a few quick announcements before we end the program, the English program. Just a quick reminder for all of you here that there will be a youth discussion with Samahat Sheikh Salim at Simon Fraser University at the Surrey campus. If you're able to attend, it will be a lot of benefits for you and for your friends, inshallah. So you don't want to miss out, inshallah. We'll be starting in half an hour or so. Just a reminder that, inshallah, we have volunteers going around for donations. We do need your generous donations to continue with these Muharram programs and the future youth programs, inshallah. And we do have various ways of donating. We have the Araya holders tickets going for $50. We have Water for Change that's going on that we'll be collecting at the end of the month of Safar, inshallah. There's a food hamper that Brother Murtaza is in charge of outside that is donating $50 for a basket of food for the Iraqi families who have fled their home in Iraq, that will feed them for a month, inshallah. So we do need your generous donations for that. There's the 10th album that is selling right now by Brother Nuri Sardar. The donations will be going for the program, inshallah. And just a reminder, there will be a Muharram procession that's going to be happening as we're leaving from Kauthar and the Zahra Center at 12 p.m. You do need to register. So don't forget to register, and we are looking for volunteers. Any of the youth who are able to volunteer on this, we really do need your help. Please come and approach me, inshallah, afterwards. Brothers and sisters, we do need help from both sides. So please don't forget to keep us in your du'as, inshallah, and continue supporting these kind of programs, inshallah, and continue seeing you tomorrow and afterwards. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.